All right, guys, welcome to Hot Rods and Happy Hour. This is Rob Pitt's Hot Rod.
What's happening, dude?
Richard.
What's happening, Upstate?
That's right, guys. We got Richard Hoskins, the professor himself, Hot Rods and Happy Hour, resident financial analyst and numbers guru himself. We got Hot Rod.
Yes, sir.
Playing on the interwebs.
I am.
That's him.
That's me.
I'll tell you what. You know, it's been a good week, and I've thought about something.
What have you thought about, sir?
Well, it came to me in a dream, and I watched Smokey and the Bandit before I fell asleep, so that's probably why it was in my dream. I'd make a damn good Burt Reynolds.
Yeah.
I'm that guy. I've got Burt Reynolds syndrome.
I can be a snowman.
I'm kind of a show-off a little bit.
No, not you.
And
you never wear a hat, though.
No, yeah. I got good hair, though.
Oh, that's so true. That's true.
You know what I'm saying. And, I mean, Sally Field, back then, you know, she was kind of hot.
She was cute.
Old frog.
I think I could play a good Jackie Gleason.
You would be a good Jackie Gleason. You'd be a good Jackie Gleason.
Better a snowman. Well, you got snowman over there, Richard.
Yeah. Richard snowman.
I can drive a truck.
I can see him coming out of the bar. How'd you do?
I did.
That ain't usual. Well,
I do get my ass kicked in a bar quite frequently.
Oh, man. But you know, that's the thing that's cool about it, though, is there's one thing that's prevalent through the whole movie.
Yes, there is, actually.
Pontiacs.
Mm-hmm. They run rampant.
Rampant. I'm going to tell you something. When they came up with this movie, I'm pretty sure the nice people at Pontiac gave them lots of cars. Because you notice all the SWAT cars were Pontiacs mainly. There were some Dodge Monacos and things like that in there. But there was a lot.
Oh, those are all Bonnevilles, weren't they?
That would be, was it a Parisian?
Parisians, I think, were bigger than Bonneville. I think it would have been a Le Mans, because Bonnevilles and Parisians were full-size cars.
Okay, yeah.
So, there weren't any in it.
But there were a ton of Pontiacs in it. And, of course, you had the star car, which was a 77 Trans Am.
Yeah.
And that got me thinking about Pontiacs. You know, Pontiacs get forgotten about. It's like the forgotten car. Because, I mean, GM's forgot about them, obviously, now, since they killed the brand. But that's, I don't know. I love these cars. I love
cool
Pontiacs.
Car.
It is a cool car. Like, I mean, you know, one of my first car was a Trans Am. I mean, I love Pontiacs. I mean, it was always the classy car. I mean, you had a Camaro or you could have had a Trans Am with hideaway headlights in it, you know, in the later years and things like that. And, I mean, you know, but there's so many more cool cars than Trans Ams.
Yeah, there are. I mean, the Trans Am is obviously the crown jewel.
It is the crown jewel, and there's been many cool Trans Ams. But how about further back than that? I mean, like me and Richard were talking outside earlier. I mean, thinking about, how about the 57 Bonneville?
57 Bonneville was, I mean, that was a gentleman's muscle car before muscle cars were a thing.
Well, you know, think about it. I mean, you know, big horsepower. I mean, they had the mechanical fuel injection on. I mean, I'll be honest with you, a Chevrolet was an economy car.
Yeah.
And the Pontiac was basically a step down from a Cadillac.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's a cool car, and they're beautiful cars.
It was the kind of car that you would buy before you were ready for a Cadillac.
That's right. It's the step before the Cadillac.
It is. Well, you know, Pontiac's always been a great brand, though. They were introduced by General Motors in 1926. And they went all the way up to, what was it, 2007? 2010, 10. Yeah.
Well, yeah, most of the 2010s, like, they made, like, 8 of.
Yeah.
So, really, full model year 2009.
That's sad. That a brand that's been around.
There are 8 2010 Pontiac Solstices.
Really?
Mm-hmm. They started making the 2010s, and then they said, cut it out, guys. We're done.
What, the first hour?
I guess.
They only made 8 of them, you know?
I guess.
Yeah, just stop at lunch.
Yeah, you know what? We're not going to do this anymore.
Just go home.
Sorry, guys. You're all fired.
But I mean, and the thing is, like, GM has just killed a brand. You know, like, it's gone.
They did it with Pontiac, and they did it with Saturn. They started making great cars, and then they just...
Well, Saturn, I can understand Saturn a little bit because they were kind of off in left field.
Yeah, they didn't have the heritage or the reputation.
But look at Oldsmobile and Pontiac. And I'll be honest with you, they were riding on Chevrolet's coattails because everything Chevrolet made, they just made an Oldsmobile version of it or a Pontiac version of it.
By the end, yeah.
I mean, more or less. So what was it really hurting keeping them around?
I mean, I would say nothing other than potentially a dealer network. But
yeah. Well, that's sitting, another thing. It kills dealers.
Sitting still there, except now it's instead of sitting Buick, Pontiac, GMC truck.
It's Buick and GMC trucks.
Sitting Buick, GMC truck.
Well, I mean, I don't have to say. Well, first, their commercial sounds dumb now.
Yeah, it does.
Second,
it does not sound right.
It don't sound right. And second, you've cut half their inventory out.
That's true. That's
you know?
True.
And I mean, I don't know. I'm a little heated. I'm a GM guy, but I'm a little heated with them killing the brand.
Yeah, especially when they just. I mean, you know, by the time the Pontiac was gone, they had the G8. They had the G6. They actually weren't riding Chevy's coattails anymore. They had their own vehicles.
Right.
And they were pretty good.
Could you imagine if they came out with a new Firebird, like the fifth-gen Camaro?
Yeah, how about a GTO again?
That'd be awesome. You're never going to see a GTO again.
I know.
GTOs, those were really cool cars. And I'll be honest with you, I really think somebody at GM was sleeping to get that through.
Yeah. No American car company is going to make a big coupe.
It just don't sell. Mm-mm. It's a proven fact.
Especially if you have like you know, people say, why don't they make a new Chevelle? Because they make a Camaro.
Exactly. Well,
you're competing with yourself.
Exactly. Well, that and another thing about it is big coupes just don't sell anymore. People don't want that. They want a four door car. Bigger is better. They'd rather make another SUV.
In that case, then the Pontiac G8.
That was a four door.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
That was a great car.
And yeah. It was a great car. It was a great car. You know,
I would like to have one.
My buddy Jesse's got one. He just got one. It's a pretty bad ride.
I would love to have one.
Yeah, G8s are pretty gnarly.
See, y'all are like the new Pontiac fans. I'm an old Poncho fan.
Yeah.
Like
I could swing either way on that.
You know, but I'll be good. So, but like I said, I'm an old Pontiac fan. Like when you say GTO, y'all got, or well, Robert especially, because he's a millennial, is naturally going to be drawn to the later model GTOs. But when you say GTO, the first thing that pops in my head is the song by Randy and the Daytonas and the 389 three deuces and a four speed.
Well, see, you know,
that's a GTO to me.
No, that is a GTO.
My immediate mindset of a GTO actually is triple X. You know, the stacked headlights.
Yeah, with missiles shooting.
That's
what's wrong with
America. No, not that car, but that body style. The stacked headlight GTOs. That's what I truly think of.
You know,
but
that's 66, 67. Well, his was a 67, I believe, in Triple X. But you know what I'm saying? Those are the bigger
I'll take
GTOs.
The Adorado. I like 74s.
Now, you know what? Those are kind of cool,
those
too.
Great-looking cars.
Down on horsepower.
Yeah.
Horribly.
But it was a 74.
Yeah.
Everything was.
Yeah. Unless you got your 74 Super Duty.
Unless you got a Super Duty, which is another thing. I mean,
it's super rare. But, you know, like I said, the Pontiacs, you know, I think that a lot of the cool ones really kind of gotten forgot about because they're just kind of a forgotten brand. I mean, now it's like the Huntmobile.
Yeah.
You know, it's just forgotten. The old Pontiacs. And everybody thinks about their and everybody's grandmother had a Parisian.
And my grandmother didn't. Mine had a Caprice.
Of course she
same
would.
Same thing, but...
But you know what I mean, though. But yeah. And they're usually funeral home gray,
mm-hmm.
And they got them wire wheel hubcaps on them.
All day long.
I mean, that's how it works. That's how it works. I mean, and that's the thing. I want to talk about Pontiacs today. Like, I want to talk about the cool Pontiacs, the not-so-cool Pontiacs, and the Pontiacs that you probably hadn't thought about in a long time.
Oh, there are plenty of them out there, because... Pontiac is a dead brand, so you overlook them now.
You do. Well, you don't think about it.
No, you really don't. It's kind of sad, really. And that happens with a lot of brands that die out. You just kind of forget about all the greats throughout.
Well, I mean, and that's the thing. There's so many. I mean, Pontiac has been strong for so long. I mean, even to the end, they were kicking. And then GM pulls the plug that.
And really, I don't understand why.
I think it's going to boil down to dollars and cents.
Yeah, I mean, someone who knows more than us definitely was in that.
That's why those guys
necessarily.
That's why those guys get paid the big bucks.
Brand
and if we want to keep getting paid, we need to catch this radio commercial. We need to catch this commercial break.
We do.
That's right, guys. Stay tuned. We're talking Pontiacs right here on Hot Rods and Happy Hour.
106.3 WORD.
All right, guys. Welcome back to Hot Rods and Happy Hour. Hot Rod!
What's happening, dude?
Richard!
What's happening, Upstate?
Man, we're talking Pontiacs. And, I mean, you got to think about it. There were so many cool ones. And I'm not going to bore you to death through the 30s and the 40s. But keep in mind, even in the 40s, they actually had the straight 8 Pontiacs. I mean, Chevrolet had a Stovbolt 6. So we had a straight 8 in Pontiacs in the 40s. But in the 50s, that's when they started shaking it up a little bit.
I think that's when Pontiac really stepped out and above their Chevrolet counterparts.
Well, they did in a lot of ways, actually. But 1957 was that big year for them. The Bonneville came out. It was actually wasn't even its own car. It was almost like an upgraded trim package in 57. But it had a 347 V8. And, of course, they had mechanical Rochester fuel injection on them, which was problematic at best. But at the time, and when it ran right, it made great numbers.
It's pretty cool to see them old fuelie setups, too.
They're very expensive, too, now. The people, because everybody took them off and put carburetor setups on them, so
that's
finding them.
Junked.
Exactly. There's actually companies now that restore those Rochester mechanical fuel injections. That's all they do.
Sounds like a pretty expensive endeavor.
Oh, I'm pretty sure of it. There's actually a guy in town that has a Black Widow clone, awesome. But it has a 283 fuelie motor in it.
So that's a pretty cool setup, I think. Yeah, it's old school, but
the Black Widow was a 57 150, of course, white back, black front, six lug because it had the big drum brakes on it off a pickup truck. Very cool. But anyway, so back to the 10 Indians. So now we had this Bonneville, but 58 was the first year for the true Bonneville, and it even had a 370 V8 then. And then, you know, we roll on through the 60s, and these cars got bigger and bigger, and these engines got bigger in them, too.
I don't think you can escape your way from the 50s without talking about the Pontiac Star Chief and the Chieftain and all those.
Well, I mean, it was just all the different, you know, the different trim models of it. I mean, like, they had a Safari station wagon, which was virtually a Nomad.
Yeah.
But these things were absolutely gorgeous. I'll never forget, we traded for a 55 Safari. That thing was absolutely gorgeous. Sold it on eBay. Go figure. Well, but to a guy at Huntington Beach, California.
It was a far more stylish car, if you will, than Chevrolet.
Well, it was a totally different car, too. I'll tell you something else that's crazy. You know how all the Chevrolets had the master cylinder on the firewall?
Yeah.
The master cylinder on this Pontiac was under the floor.
Oh, that's weird.
Very weird.
Very interesting.
It had its own V8. It was an odd V8 in it. But, I mean, like, everything was different. Nothing on it was like Chevrolet. Everything was Pontiac. And, I mean, it was so funny that from the doors back, it was virtually, you know, a Nomad. But all this Pontiac stuff, everything was totally different in it. I remember this car came in, it was the original leather interior in it. It had two-tone kind of a camel and white two-tone interior in it. And power seats, power windows, power door locks in a 55 model car.
Yeah, that's when they were still experimenting with all that stuff. And, I mean, loaded up Pontiac was pretty high in car.
Well, exactly. Well, I mean, and that was the cool thing about it. And chrome for days.
Is there any other way?
And it had the light up Indian head.
That's on the hood?
Yeah. That's so cool. I mean, you think about it now. I mean, you imagine having your hood ornament as a human head.
That lights up.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you're going to get a hate group on you for something. Yeah,
and it's an Indian.
Yeah, exactly. But you notice they kind of got away from that there. Late 50s, I think, is when you start seeing the Indian going away. And you notice they had a new emblem. Of course, the emblem that rode out with Pontiac all the way to the end.
Is it a trident?
No, actually, it's a spearhead. Yeah. It's arrowhead, rather. And it was the original premise of it. I mean, that's what it's supposed to be, but it's the Pontiac Arrowhead. But, you know, so we go into the 60s, and, you know, you take a little mild-mannered car like the Tempest, and what do?
Tempest was a technical powerhouse.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're talking about the power plant in the Tempest, early Tempest.
It's an aluminum 3.5-liter V8 that they still put in Range Rovers today.
Which is insane. You know, that's the thing about Range Rovers. Range Rovers are a cornucopia of parts.
Yeah.
There are parts been build.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. All, I think most English cars are.
But. Well, majority of them. I mean, they need all the help they can get, you know. But, I mean, they get a good thing, they stick with it. I'll give them that.
Yeah.
But, you know, so you took the little mild-mannered Tempest, and then what do? 1964 rolls around. Something totally new. And it was so cool because
I know what happened in 64.
What's that?
A very important thing happened. The GTO was born.
Exactly. The GTO was born.
Not my favorite year of a GTO, but still a very, very respectable car.
I'm weird. I like a 64 GTO better than I like a 64 Chevelle.
No, yeah, well, I agree with you there. Not so much on the 65s, but the 64s were, like, unique, weren't they?
They were just a little odd. 65s were a touch big, were a bigger-looking car, really. I don't know, size-wise, they just look bigger.
Yeah.
I love a 64 GTO. To me, the perfect 64 GTO is Mayflower Maze and black insides, 389 and a 4-speed.
389 that pumped out a whopping 325 horsepower, by
exactly.
the way.
Exactly, three deuces. But you know what the funniest thing ever? Chevrolet's 327, 300 horse without running out all day long.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
But it's so funny how that worked, you know? Like, they made more on paper, but the 327 would eat up every time. But, and I'll tell you what's funny, is I don't know about the 64 so much. And, you know, the tri-power setups, you know, on these cars, the reason they did so many multi-carb setups back in the day is they didn't have big four barrels back then.
Right.
So to get more CFMs, you just had to put more carburetors on it.
And to be honest, they didn't need that many CFMs.
No, not really.
You put a Holley 600 on one and tune it.
Well, but
right.
they didn't have a Holley 664. Yeah. That's the problem. Touché. And, you know, and so that was the holdup with it. So now, but then that's how they got, you know, multiple or more CFMs is with multiple carburetors. But, you know, so the 64s and 65s, but I actually had a navy blue 65 GTO. That was a sharp car, too. But I had a 66 Montero red, red vinyl insides, four-speed bucket seat car, 389 tri-power. That was a fun car.
Yeah, that's cool.
That was a really cool red on red, three deuces, four-speed. You couldn't tell me nothing till my dad's big block Chevelle rolled up. Funniest thing ever. We're sitting on 183, or if you're not from around here, that's Pete Hollis Highway, when they were actually building the bridge. And I think the Statute of Limitations is out. I'm not going to say the date, so I think we're good. Me and my dad lined up his 1967 big block Chevelle 396. And this is a 396 350 horse car, so it wasn't even the highest horse. Automatic. He ate me alive. I had to do everything I could for him just not to walk away from that little GTO. And that right there, boys, was the beginning of the end of my Pontiac days.
You didn't shut them down?
No. All them songs, they were lying.
I'm going to go ahead and tell you, it's hard to be a bad ace in the whole Corporation Motor world.
It is. I mean, there's some, and there's guys that can make them run.
Oh, absolutely. I agree with you there. But
when them big block Chevrolets roll up.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a whole new ballgame.
They're forced to be reckoned with. For sure. I tell you what else is a force to be reckoned with. See, what's darn that? Commercial breaks.
Every time, buddy.
Man, I tell you what, guys. I tell you, we got a lot more about Pontiacs this week. We got so much stuff. Richard's over here brewing with information. I can just see it. Like,
oh,
he's giddy.
We haven't even left the 60s yet with Pontiacs, so there's great ones to come.
That's right, guys. Stay tuned. We got a lot more coming at you right here on Hot Rods and Happy Hour.
On 106.3 WORD.
All right, guys, welcome back to Hot Rods and Happy Hour. You know what we're talking about?
What are we talking about?
We are talking about them 10 Indians.
Oh, the old Pontiac.
That's right, guys. So we left off in the 60s, the mid-60s, talking about the GTO. And I don't think for 1 minute that we could not talk about Pontiac performance in the 60s.
I know where this is going.
And not mention the GTO Judge.
I don't think it's possible to leave the 60s without mentioning that car.
That's a sexy car.
It is. They had the best advertisements, too.
By far not my favorite GTO, but by far probably one of the sexiest.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, keep in mind, you came off of that triple X crap, so you wouldn't know any better. But
I just like the stacked headlights. I'm sorry.
You just got a thing for Vin Diesel.
even being that I'm a stacked headlight GTO guy, that is probably the sexiest GTO.
Hideaway headlights.
Uh-huh. It clicked all the right
boxes.
But
I tell you what's weird. Now, the carousel red, that's probably the most popular Judge color by far, is nice. And they made them in white, and they made them in black, but they also made them in avocado green.
Mm-hmm. I have a model of one in avocado green.
I love the green ones. I think those are so sexy.
What color were the decals?
They were still orange, everything just like it, but on a green car.
Huh, that'd be interesting. That would give us some honeycombs.
Yes.
Yeah, yellow and black is the color of the stripe.
Is it?
Yeah, it's yellow black. It's black with yellow pinstriping.
Well, the other ones were blue and yellow and a little bit of orange on them, maybe.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they were good-looking cars, gorgeous, but the green cars. Ones were just killer. I think I like them because you don't see them.
They're oddities.
It's a great color. Walt Gust used to have a regular 68 GTO in that color with black vinyl roof.
Oh, yeah.
It was awesome.
It was cool, man. You know, the 400 cubic inch was rated in those cars up to 370 horsepower. So,
well, I mean, you know,
it was decently powered.
It was decently powered in a bigger car. Keep in mind, this is the same size as your 69, 70 Chevelles. These were right. big cars. And then, of course, Chevrolet had LS6s, 454s, 450 horse, yada, yada, yada. But, well, then, of course, you had the big cubic inch Buicks, too, your 455s, like your GSs.
Stage ones.
Yeah. The, you know, so they had a little competition in the corporation. Of course, you had Joe's Bills, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so there was a lot there, but those cars were real stylish. They were just a sleek looking car with the hideaway headlights,
I mean,
and all that.
It looked like the epiphany of a muscle car.
It does look a muscle car. I like them a lot.
When by the time you got to the Judge, I mean, the original concept behind the GTO was to be a cheap, fast car. But by the time you started loading up a GTO, it wasn't really cheap anymore.
No, not even close, actually. But, you know, the Judge was a great car. And, of course, you know, we're talking in the 60s. Hey, a step back a year. Well, 67, right, or 2 years. How about the Firebird?
Yeah, that's pretty much got to mention that.
I mean, the Firebird, it was lukewarm when it came out. I think the Camaro stole a lot of its thunder.
Personally, I'm not a first-gen Firebird fan, to me. I think that's the one generation of Camaro had a better-looking car.
Well, and I agree with you to an extent. Now, see, I'm a little weird when it comes to my first-gen Camaros. I like a 67 better than I like a 69.
Which is odd.
I like vent windows.
Mm-hmm.
I love the RS, SS, and 67 with the hideaway headlights. 68 is virtually the same car, but it doesn't have vent windows, so I don't really care for that.
It's got side marker lights.
Exactly. First year for federally mandated rule. All cars had side marker lights in 1968. But the thing you got to think about in the 69s, I think they were just a little overkill. Like, it was just a little over the top. And I know everybody loves a 69 Camaro. My dad owns one. But they just don't blow my skirt up.
You know, think about it. And somebody listening to the show is going to hate Odd Rod eternally for the statement that I make. But I look at the Tri-5 Chevys the same way. 55 was really bland. 56, they got it right. And then 57 was a little over the top.
Well, and in the Tri-5s, I lean the same way. But you got some people that love a 57, don't care for a 56, and don't like a 55. Or vice versa, you know, which way you could turn that. So I guess that's what makes the world go around, variety.
Well, if we all like the same thing, then it'd be a boring world.
That's what I'm saying.
But, I mean, and I have no problem with
we'd all be driving 65 Malibus.
Or Mustangs.
Yeah. Or 91 Caprices.
Oh, God.
That's
I just had like a flashback.
Like Helter Skelter. Uh-huh.
I imagine that's what hell's a lot like. I'm just saying. 91 Capri station wagons everywhere.
Welcome to hell. Here's your keys.
Well, firstly, you two are scratched off my Christmas list, so thank you.
I'll be honest with you, take whatever you were going to get me for Christmas and put it towards the new car fund. And I'm pretty sure Richard feels the same way.
Absolutely.
Richard, just think.
You know, with friends like this, who really needs enemies, you know?
You know what? A true friend stabs you in the front. You know? but this was the thing, though, you know, with the Firebirds, they were a little weak out of the box, in my opinion. But what I really like, and I think they came on
strong. Boy, what a great car they turned out to be.
How about the 69 Trans Ams, though?
Oh, man.
White, blue stripes. That's a sexy car.
I don't agree on the first-gen Firebird, but honestly, I will take any year Firebird over its Camaro counterpart any day of the week, every day.
So even first, right out of the box.
Yeah, I love the 67, 68 Firebirds.
You know, you had a lot of people taking the early Firebirds and making Camaros
still
out of them.
Still do.
Yeah.
And
they're not. The first-gen Firebirds are not a bad-looking car by any means.
No, they're not a bad-looking car, but...
Just, out of the two, that's the only generation where, for me, Camaro wins over. Past that, I have to agree with you full-heartedly. I take the Pontiac version over.
And after the first gen, I'll lean Pontiac with you. I'll lean pretty hard Pontiac with you. The only time when I think I'll stray away back over to the GM or the Chevrolet side, I love a 77 Trans Am, don't get me wrong. But now when you start getting into the 80s, like the 80, 81, when they went in that turbo Trans Am phase.
Z28s looked great.
That's a gorgeous car.
Yeah,
I mean, like all I see is Jordache jeans, platform shoes, and like John Travolta.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I love
you
it.
You know, some T-tops.
Oh, man. A perm.
Yeah, that was back when performance sucked no matter what. So strapping a turbo to a crap motor didn't really do anything for it. I'm not really one to should be saying that.
Other than
so how's those Daytona Z's going?
Other than making it a whistling crap motor.
Oh.
Right.
That's messed up a little bit. You get the man with the station wagon talking trash, Richard.
Well, I mean, I'll put the Z up against an 81 turbo Trans Am pretty much any day.
Well, those were like 4.1 liter or something?
4.9.
4.9, yeah.
Yeah, and they had a good, I think, 170, 180 horsepower, and they're pulling, you know, a 3,600, 3,700 pound car.
I think my money would be on the Z car at that one, too.
Yeah, yeah. Stock for stock, I'm pretty sure I got that
one. Yeah, I would take that 230 horse 350Z any day of the week. I don't know if they were quite 230 horse, though.
They weren't. They weren't over 200. I mean, by the time the 80s rolled around, I could be mistaken. If I am, it's not by much. I don't think there was 200 horsepower Camaro until he started getting into the TPIs.
That's crazy. That's insane. You know, in the 70s, though, I mean, we skipped over some really good ones. How about like your 74 Super Duty? Like you were talking about the 74 GTO. That was a good looking car.
It was.
Took a car that's really not that good looking in a stripe package and some color matching, and it really made a good looking car out of it.
I'll tell you another car I like out of the 70s in Pontiac's realm, and it's killing me because I can't think of the name off the top of my head, but it's the Nova.
Oh, that's what the 74 GTO is based on.
Yeah. What was the was a
crap
like a Velara or
Ventura?
Ventura. Yeah. That's Velara. Yeah, it's not Velara. Ventura, the Pontiac Ventura. Pontiac I thought those Ventura. Were great looking cars.
They did make a car. How about another one from the 70s? How about the Can-Am?
The Can-Am is absolutely awesome.
Can-Am still had a 400, had a good-looking sticker package, had the hood.
Had the shaker hood on it. Well, I mean, this is like you took I'm trying to think. It's like Mario Andretti and your grandma made a car. You made the Can-Am.
Throw in a little Trans Am flavor to it.
Another cool thing about Pontiac, though, is like, say you got your 74 GTO, you can pull that 350 Pontiac out, and a 455 Super Duty will occupy the same space.
Yeah. Well, I'm telling you, and it fixes the problem.
Yeah, problem solved.
Or if you really want to fix a problem all the way around, you know what else will go in that space?
LS.
Listen, Justin Bieber, if I wanted something out of you, I'd throw a flat bill hat and hit you with it. A nice small block Chevrolet.
I was just trying to make it
maybe
run good.
Maybe a 454.
Oh, no.
LS.
I cannot support that.
I can't. That's to me, we were at Caffeine and Octane, wasn't it? And the guy that had the really nice Trans Am. Remember? And it was looking there, but he noticed on the side of his hood, it didn't say 6.6 liter anymore. It said 5.7 liter.
He fixed the problem.
No, he didn't. 6.6 not a problem.
He threw that four.
Have you ever owned a 6.6 liter?
Huh?
Have you ever owned a 6.6
liter? I've owned one. I've driven a couple.
Let me tell you something. That's the most underrated, big for nothing powerhouse.
I'm talking about Pontiac 400, not the Oldsmobile.
It's the same motor.
It's not the same motor.
It's not
the same motor, though. They were both 6.6 liter, though.
It's the exact same motor.
They don't even share the same displacement.
All right. All right. You two, we're going to take a commercial break. We'll let you guys fight outside, okay? Guys, stay tuned right here to Hot Rods and Happy Hour.
106.3 WORD.
All right, guys, welcome back to Hot Rods and Happy Hour, or should I say Punches and Pontiacs. It was getting brutal in here for a second.
All right,
first thing I want to say. First, I want to clear this up.
Hang on. I'll admit to being wrong here. The Oldsmobile 6.6 liter is a 403 versus the Pontiac 6.6 liter being the 400.
Right. Okay.
It takes a big man.
Secondly, let me add, those 3 cubic inches do not help with that underpowered piece of crap paperweight.
If anything, they hurt it.
Yeah.
All right. And I just got one question for you, Hot Rod.
LS swap it.
I got one question for you. How does it feel getting your ass kicked by a one-armed man? Shut up.
Yeah, shut up.
Shut up. But this is the thing. I mean, keep in mind, in those years, also, you both were kind of right. I hate to be like the Andy Griffith here and be like the peacekeeper, but you had the Pontiac 400 in your four-speed cars. You had the 403 in the automatic cars.
That's true.
All right.
Yeah, that's why it's not a Pontiac 400.
I feel like I'm straightening a fight out between Gomer and Barney right now.
I'm Barney. Just for the record, I'm Barney. You know, I know what Gomer was into.
Surprise, surprise.
But you know, but I mean, you know, the 70s were a very lukewarm time for horsepower. Yeah, think about it when they actually
lukewarm as being nice.
Yes,
it was lukewarm over in Dodge when they came out with the Little Red Express.
Well, I mean, the thing you got to think about though is when Hal Needham filmed Smokey and the Bandit, they had to change the motor in the stunt car for the bridge jump because it wouldn't make it to the 403.
Yeah, I believe
you
that.
You couldn't project a Trans Am far enough with a 403.
I firmly believe that, actually.
And so, I mean, so there's actually a local race shop in Georgia. That whole movie was filmed within an hour of Atlanta, Georgia, that entire movie was. Even the Texas scenes were still filmed in Georgia. But the thing that was crazy about it was, is they actually had a local engine shop swap the motor out and put a Chevrolet drivetrain. All right, it was a small,
it was a
hot small block 350 built so the car would actually make the jump.
Hal Needham knew it.
I was like, you know what? I drove this thing. It's kind of like a sack of turds.
We don't want to kill Bert.
Yeah. And Frog.
We're gonna make two more of these movies.
Bert wasn't even in the last one. That's what made it even worse.
I like it.
Well, he was tired of driving that underpowered piece of crap around.
Well, he was riding around an 84 Trans Am then. That was, what was it, 80? 83.
83,
yeah.
One or the other.
Yeah. Like, I love, don't get me wrong, I love Jerry Reed, God rest his soul. But he's not the bandit, okay?
Talk about the dead.
I don't want to be the one to talk about the dead, but I feel like somebody needs to talk about the dead. Jerry Reed should have stopped it, too.
I don't want to see Burt Reynolds driving a truck.
No, I don't want to see Burt Reynolds driving a truck. I don't want to see Jerry Reed driving a TA.
But I'm going to tell you what, though, in all seriousness, the 78 Pontiac Trans Am was probably the highlight of Pontiac's career.
77, 78 were absolutely gorgeous cars.
Yeah, they were awesome.
They were hot cars, and I mean, sales went up dramatically because of that one movie.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
That's insane. That's insane.
They didn't have to be fast.
No, you got to think about it. These 70s cars, they all sucked. Yeah. It didn't matter which brand you went with, so he sold on style. The best-selling car, and I was actually talking to a guy, online about this. He was talking about how big a dog the late 70s and early 80s C3 Vets were. He said, yeah, those were the slowest Vets ever made. But they were also the best-selling Vets ever made because they sold on style.
Absolutely.
1979 was the best-selling, and I'll be honest with you, probably one of my least favorite years of Corvette. But it was the best-selling year Corvette ever because it sold on style.
Yeah, I'd rather have a bustle back or an 80 to 82 myself. I think 78 and 79 is kind of dog years.
Yeah.
The way to own a 78, in my opinion, is the pace car.
That's the silver anniversary one. The two-tone silver was decent.
They're sharp.
But still, the 82 collector's edition.
Yeah.
Those things are sexy.
They even got a hatchback that opens.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right, you two calm down. I don't think Pontiac made a Corvette now.
That's right. They knew better. But anyway, these cars in the 70s, so they were all kind of dogs. But I love the ones in the 70s that slipped through the cracks, like the 74 Super Duty.
Yeah, which was the fastest car built at 73, 74.
Everything was insane. Floyd Garrett's actually got one at the Floyd Garrett, a red one.
They were putting out 345 net horsepower.
Yeah. That's insane.
Yeah, I mean, that back in the quote-unquote muscle car days, that would have been a 450-horsepower engine.
Yeah. And I mean, the thing is, how they got away with that, I still don't know.
I don't know.
I think they followed this new coined phrase by the millennials, and they just sent it.
Well, I don't think it's that. I think that, you know, this is along the time when, like, the U.S. started getting feeling, like, sympathetic about what they did to the Indians. So they let that one Pontiac slide.
You guys got a couple years.
Like, they called the EPA back and be like, hey, you sit down. Y'all go play.
You know Pontiac is after Ottawa Chief, so.
Well, and I mean, and that's, that, I mean, I really
which is
do.
Also why Pontiac, Michigan was
that
named
was
that.
Their reservation.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, you know what I mean.
And in 1932, if I'm not mistaken, Pontiac left Oakland to go to Pontiac, Michigan, and that's where they were manufactured for their Ford.
That's where they made Pontiacs.
Yeah, after 32, they started in Oakland. In Oakland.
Huh. You learned something?
Didn't know that.
Yeah.
You learned something? I mean, I'm like, I feel smarter now.
I know.
Interesting facts for 1,000 on Pontiac.
That's what I'm saying. But... These are some cool cars in the 70s. They were real stylish. I mean, there was then, like the 455 Transit, but then we're creeping into the 80s.
Then the 80s.
And the 80s were hit or miss because Yep. Pontiac performance-wise, it was pretty much the Trans Am or nothing.
There was one Pontiac that squeaked its way through the 80s, though, that has stand in everybody's heart. And I think Richard knows which one I'm talking about.
I've got an idea. Was it late 80s?
Yeah.
See, we're getting too far ahead of ourselves now. We're forgetting
that. We're
going
to have to mention
one.
It, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, but we're talking about the early 80s.
That's right. We're not there yet.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about? Michael Knight. I'm going to tell you something. That was the baddest Trans Am ever. I will put it.
It's pretty good.
I grew up on Knight Rider. So, I mean, it was just, there's something about a car that talked to you.
Well, I mean, it was raining yesterday, and I remember thinking, man, I wish I could be like, car, come get me.
Kit.
That would be so cool, though. I mean, I would like to have a car that I could have a conversation with.
Do you remember Evil Kit? I think it was called Car.
Yeah, it was called Car.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the Knight Industries 2000, and this was like the Brand X 2000 car was. But I mean, it was cool. It had the green light in the front.
Yeah, I think it was red.
Was it a red one on car, too?
Kit was red.
Car was green. Yeah,
yeah,
I'm sorry.
Green, and the kit was red. Yeah. But, I mean, that was just cool. And driving in and out of the truck and trailer.
Yeah, that's neat.
Yeah, that was.
I bet a lot of our show car buddies wish they could do that.
Every time I see, like, one of the ramp trucks that carry about 5 or 6.
I have a hard time driving a car in a trailer that's sitting still.
Every time I see one of those ramp trucks going down the road, I was like, if he'd just lower it down. I'm pretty sure I could do it.
Everybody's thought that.
But, I mean, that thing was so cool, though. I mean, that was just the neatest thing ever.
Well, the interior on the car is amazing. If you ever get to see a replica of it out and about, the steering wheel, the way it's hacked up and all that.
There's one in Greenville.
Is there?
Yeah, and like the dude drives it.
And
it looks almost right, except it's got some like saw blade mags on it, and it's got the gold at the bottom, but it's got the front end and it's got the interior.
That's crazy.
I don't know why you wouldn't finish
yeah, it
go
out,
the rest
yeah.
of the way.
And I love the black wheels. I mean, it was the first murdered out car, if you think about it.
And those wheels.
Kit was a trendsetter.
Those wheels are actually turbo fin aluminum wheels that had bolt-on caps.
Exactly. That is so cool, though.
Yeah, they're like cheap wheels on it, really.
I mean, it's just a factory wheel with just a custom cap on it. Very, very cool. I tell you what's not cool. These darn commercial breaks, man.
Well,
we get all excited talking about all these cool Pontiacs. I'm talking Knight Rider over here. I'm about ready to break up my Knight Rider lunchbox. And then what do we got?
Hold on. You have a Knight Rider lunchbox? I think we need to talk about that for a minute.
We ain't got time because we got to take a commercial break.
All right. You got saved on this one.
That's right, guys. Stay tuned. We're talking Pontiacs right here on Hot Rods and Happy Hour.
106.3 WORD.